Morning, Nadia. How are we all doing? Okay, good. So my voice is a bit croaky today, but I thank God that last night I could only whisper. Amazing. Even better. Thanks, Mikey. It's not a comedy show. That's whatever. I'll do lovely. Yeah, so I just thank God that last night I could hardly speak. And I put it on the prayer chain and I can croakily speak now. Thank God, good. But I'm going to practice what I'm preaching today is to try and make an arena for God. So for this sermon, I've probably spent the least amount of time in writing down and preparing than I have for any other sermon. Because what I normally do is try and write everything out. Sandy Poos is here, yay! Speak up, I can't speak much louder. What was I saying? Yeah, but no, that doesn't mean I've not spent time preparing, but I've just spent time in prayer. I normally try and write everything down, cross all the T's and dot all the I's, so I'm just giving, hopefully, the Holy Spirit a bit more room to speak rather than just all my notes. So that's okay, isn't it? If I get stuck and make a mess, this is a safe place, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know what you expect. I wanted us to pray this morning, if that's okay. Pray for myself. Father God, I just pray that you help my voice hold out. I thank you for what you've spoken to me today, and I pray that you help me present it to the church, to your body, in power and authority and Holy Spirit. I pray that it goes into people's hearts and changes our lives and moves us into a closer relationship with you and moves us closer into your will and to walk and to move as you would have us. And I just pray for our teaching team. Father God, I just thank you for the teachers that you've put in this church. I thank you for that group of men and women that really just want to seek your heart and have been called to present that word. And as a church, we are so blessed, so privileged. And I am so encouraged when I meet with these guys. I'm really humble when I meet with the rest of the teaching team. I just look at these men and women and who just seem to know so much more than me, but are really devoted to seeking your heart, Lord. And I just pray a blessing over the teaching team as a whole and all the members of the body, Lord God, and the worship team and the setup team and the leaders and the elders and everybody else who contributes to the body of the church. I just thank you for them and I pray a blessing over the lot of us. Jesus, amen. I don't know about you, but I don't pray for the church enough. I pray for myself.
Sure, yeah.
I pray for myself and I pray for my circumstances to change. I pray for God to bless me. But do I pray for my leaders? Do I pray for the rest of the church? You know, like as a body. Anyway, that's a challenge for you. So to sit down. Okay, so the title of my talk is What Do You Expect? You can kind of read that in two ways. What do you expect? Like, what do you expect? Oh, what do you expect in life? And that's our question, really. What do you expect in your life? What are you expecting? What are you hoping for? What are you wishing for in your life? What are you dreaming about? What are you wanting to happen? And how much expectation do you have in your life? Do you expect much? Are you just living day by day, week by week, with little expectation, little hope, little thought of the future? When I say someone has, I think what God wants us to do is raise our expectations. See, and when I say someone has high expectations, you can think of that in different ways. Someone with high expectations, you can think of someone who's really demanding. This person's got high expectations. All they want is the world and everything, you know, on a platter for them. They've just got these high expectations, you know. Don't know if you can think of anybody like that. Someone who's demanding. You know, when you pay for something at a restaurant, or something, you have an expectation, don't you? Some people can have higher expectations than others. But also, what I want us to think of when I think of high expectations, and for us to have high expectations, is for to people who have high hopes, who hope a lot mm-hmm. in God. Mm-hmm. Someone who's really hopeful, can you think of someone you know who's a really hopeful person? What does their life look like? What sort of person is that? Someone who's a really hopeful person, really positive. Merriam-Webster definition of expectation is a belief that something will happen or is likely to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely expect that because something's always going to happen. Mm-hmm. If nothing happens, something happened or didn't happen. I'm going to expect something to happen at some point. But I like the Cambridge Dictionary. It says the feeling that good things are going to happen. And that's the expectations that I want. I want to have an expectation that good things are going to happen. Good things are coming. But our expectations tend to be formed by our experiences. Don't you? If bad things have tended to happen to you throughout your life, you tend to just expect bad things to always happen. And as soon as something bad starts to happen, you just, this is what I always happens. It's what I always expected. And you know, if you've kind of had it not too bad, then you might be more easy to be hopeful and more positive within your life. Life can bring the expected and it can bring the unexpected. My throat's drying up fast. It can bring expected good. Morning, Andy. Start bringing attention to you, you know. Walking in, trying to sneak in quiet, but there you are. That's the way I roll. Sorry about that, mate. God will punish me for that. That's God telling me off. Sorry, God. Sorry, Andy. God, we can expect good things, can't we? And we can expect bad things to happen, you know, depending on what situations you're in. But I just wrote that we can expect good things to happen and we get good. We can expect good things to happen and we don't get good. We can expect bad things to happen and we get bad things. And we can don't expect bad things to happen and we get bad things. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's four there. You can expect good and get it or don't get it. You can expect bad and don't get it or get it. But three out of those four sound bad. It's only if you expect good and get good, you end up seeing like you've got something good. The other three, if you expect good and don't get it, you're disappointed. If you expect bad and get it, you're disappointed. If you don't expect bad and you get it, you're disappointed. Yeah? Does that make sense? Made sense to me when I wrote it down. What? Hurry up! How long have you been doing this? I'll give you a minute. Love it. Sorry. Oh. Yeah, so I put, it seems to me, three out of four leave us disappointed. But even the first one, if we expect good and get good, if we put all our if those expectations are the things within this world, the things that are going to gratify you in this world, whether it's your car, your job, your money, whatever it is, you know, I was going to think of different things, I won't say what came to my mind. Even then, if you're expecting those good things and you get them somewhere down the line, they're still going to leave you disappointed. You can be demanding or you can be hopeful on this world. But either way, the world will leave you disappointed. If everything you're putting all your hopes on and all your dreams on are the things that this world's got to offer, you're going to end up disappointed. Solomon testifies to that, doesn't he? He went for everything. He made palaces and had loads of wives and he was about to end up disappointed with that one, wasn't he? That was trouble. That's not in my notes. You know, but yeah, he got everything that the world had to offer, and in the end, he just said, it's all meaningless. What's the point of anything? If it's not for God and it's not for his glory, what's the point in everything? Everything will leave you disappointed. So, as a Christian, we are Christians, some of us. What sort of expectations do we and should we have? Today, I feel like God wants us to raise our expectations. To be people who live in constant expectation of our God. In the world, we should be the most hopeful and expectant people out of anybody in the world, really. If we truly believe what we say we believe, you know, we should be, when times get tough, when times get hard, when we get squeezed, that's when we should look different to everybody else. Because we've got a hope and a joy and a peace that the rest of the world don't have and don't understand. We react in a way that the rest of the world don't get. Because that's not normal. That's not how you should react. Because we've got something that's different than what the rest of the world have got. We should expect more of God. Why? James 1:17 says this, that the Father of light, the Father of lights is the giver of all good things. And he does not change. God does not change. He is good. He is always good. He's always been good. He'll always be good. And he is the giver of good things. And we know him. So we should expect good things from our God. When things don't work out the way we expected them to work out, we lower our expectations. Things will always be like this. That's the way they've always been. That's the way it always turns out. It's always going to be like that. I've tried this, I've tried that. I'm not expecting anymore. I've lowered my expectations. Become cynical. Cynicism in the church. Cynical with life. Cynical with your family. Cynical with your friends. Low expectations of what can happen, what God can do. Because it's been like this for so long. In work, in all the situations in your life. But what's God's attitude? What's God's expectation? What are his hopes? What are his dreams? What does God want to do in those situations where you've put doubt in? Or where your life is just constant struggle after struggle after struggle, and you just, where is God in this? Quote Rick Warren. He said, every great comeback requires a setback. What you're going through is a season of life, not the end of your life. God is always up to something. He's always moving, he's always doing, he's always trying to bring something about. We love to quote, and we all know Romans 8:28. Most of us who've been a Christian a while will know that God works for the good of those. Yeah, we quote that, we say that. He's always working things out for his good, for the good of those who believe in him and trust in him and have a relationship with him. I started this year with really high expectations. You know when you get New Year's resolutions? And my New Year's resolution was, I am going to expect big things off God. And I am going to stick to that. And I'm really going to hope this year is going to be a good year. Excuse me, with God. And I have to say, I've not let it dwindle all year. And it's been ace for me. Because I know who God is. I've come to a point in my walk where, because of the things that I've been through, I know who my God is. Not because my circumstances tell me that, but because of how I feel. Because I've just come to know my Father. He is good, and I expect good things off him. And this year's been amazing. And to top it off, for me, probably, is Tracy giving her life to Jesus. Amazing. This life that Jesus died for, you know, that Jesus, when he looks back, when he died on that cross, he says, I don't regret doing that for you. No regrets. That you are worth it, that I would do it all again for you. I wouldn't look back and change it because you are worth it. God is good. And that is an amazing, amazing part of the year. And I expect, because I know my God is, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the cornerstone of my life. Everything that I build, I want to build on him. In my life, he's the capstone. He holds everything together. He's both. He's the cornerstone and the capstone. God has brought with this expectation, but God's plan has always been for me. So he's brought friends into my life that I didn't expect. It's been amazing. He brought a job into my life, which I did expect because he prophesied that into me a few years ago. And there's other things that I've not got that I want, that I expected. I expected by now that I would have a baby. I expected that we would have that. I was convinced 100%. But it's not worked out that way. Does that mean God's bad? Does that mean God's harsh? Is that because he didn't want to answer my prayers? Because he doesn't like me? Because he wants to test me and he wants to, you know, I don't know. But no, because I know my God and know his character. And if that's not what was supposed to happen, that's not what's supposed to happen. But God is still good. And he's brought loads of good. And he's got other things and other plans that he wants to do through me and for me. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, who he was, who he is, and who is to come. This time of year is the time of Advent. Well, until a couple of weeks ago, I didn't even know what Advent was until you started to tell me a few weeks ago. Do you remember? Do you not remember? So it's Advent. I just thought it was a calendar where you got chocolates from, you know. Excuse me. Ooh. But this time of Advent, does everyone else know what Advent is? Is it just me being thick? So Advent is the time of expectation. And I Wikipedia'd it, so Pedia, and where I get all my information from, is a time when Christians expectantly wait and prepare for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus at Christmas. And the term Advent in Latin means coming. So we are having a time of the expectancy of the coming of Christ. And we can share in that expectation that we know Jesus came. In fact, I was driving home from work yesterday. No, I wasn't. I was driving home from Father Ted's. And Father Ted's. Where was it? Father Ted's as well. I don't know where I was or what I was doing. I was driving home yesterday. Tarmarky baby. I'll be running off for a week. Brilliant. And I was looking around at all the amazing decorations in the houses and all the trees, and there's this giant Santa Claus in Bickerstaff. You seeing it? It's boss. And there's a big reindeer in Norton and stuff like that. I was thinking, imagine if all this was actually for the expectation of the coming king, and we were celebrating. It was actually for Christmas, the real meaning for Jesus. All these were because everyone's getting excited to celebrate that Jesus has come. That would be amazing, but it's not. It's not all about that, is it? People aren't getting excited running around the shops to buy presents because we can't wait to celebrate the birth of Christ. But that's what it's all about. And that's what I'm getting into the mood for, it, recognizing and dwelling on and thinking about. Jesus has been. He's done it. The Messiah came. The rescue has been. He's done it. We live in this time of history, which is amazing. And we can just come to this point in the year where we can really focus on Jesus. God sent his son. He did it from the beginning of time. When he made the universe, he knew the exact time when Mary was going to get pregnant, right up to the exact moment, place that Jesus was going to be born. You know, he spoke about it throughout the history, throughout the Bible, that this was going to happen. Exact pinpoint moment, he knew it was going to happen. And we can think, wow, amazing. God did it. He did. He fulfilled his promises. He wasn't joking. When he made the world and he made Adam and Eve and he said he was going to send Jesus to rescue us. God did it. And we can join in that expectancy. That expectancy. Is that right? So the season of Advent anticipates, I should have changed pages first, I've jumped ahead. Anticipates the coming of Jesus in three aspects. Advent. And the first is what I was just talking about. We expect that Jesus has come because we know he's been. But we can share in that expectation. We can share in what it would have been like for Mary and Joseph. You know, nobodies, but God knew from the foundation of the earth that what he was going to do. These two nobodies, this descendant of David, Mary, you know, he knew what he was going to do and exactly how he was going to do it. In a shoddy little cave full of hay and straw, the King of Heaven, the creator of the universe, was going to be born there, straight into a war zone where his life was at risk almost immediately, and angels were popping up here, there, and everywhere in dreams and stuff, saying, the baby's going to be born, you need to get off because he's going to be killed. You know, it's mental. But God knew all the time what he was doing. Always faithful. When our omnipotent God wants to demonstrate his infinite love to the world, he comes, the Advent, as a baby, born into a war-torn world with a couple of nobodies, with instant threats to his life. And he laid out the universe and he came as a baby. And then he laid down his life. What I'm trying to say there is God doesn't always do things the way we expect. No. His ways are not our ways, the way we think he should do things. His thoughts are not our thoughts, the way we think God thinks. We think we've got him sussed. God wouldn't do it like that. That's not God. God's always had a plan. Whatever he's been doing, he's always had the plan. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, he knew your name. He knew what he was going to do with you. He knew his expectations and his hopes and his plans and his dreams for your life. He's always known. Yeah. And he always will know. Yeah. He's not forgotten about you.
Thank you, Lord.
You can expect good from our God because he's a good God. That's what I'm up to. Came not as expected, but something good is coming. What are you expecting for Christmas? You're expecting something good? I'm going to turn to wherever I put Colossians 1, 5, 5. Colossians 1. Can't do this with one hand. I can with my phone up though. If I knew where that was. Colossians 1. It's a reminder on my phone I'm preaching today. It's a good job we got that. Colossians 1:15. Why have I put this in? Just because it's an amazing piece of scripture, really. I think that's probably where my mind was when I wrote that down. The Son is the image of the invisible God. I could stick at that bit for a while. You want to know who God is? You want to know who God the Father is? Look at the Son. The firstborn over all creation. He was there at the beginning. He'll be there at the end. He was there at the birth. He was there at the cross. He was there. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And he's coming back. But that's in a minute. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body. That's us, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have the supremacy. Wow, so for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things to us, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I could keep reading that for ages, but I'll stop there. That's just for me, just to, I think I'll put that in there because that is just the supremacy of Christ. And we can expect good things to come from God because he is good. The second thing we can expect in Advent, we can expect God to come into our hearts, the Holy Spirit, and live with us. Our greatest gift. What greater gift could you receive at Christmas than the gift of the Holy Spirit? It's called in the Bible the Helper, the Comforter. Why would we need a helper and a comforter if life wasn't going to be tough? Why would he be called that if we didn't need his help? If we could do it all by ourselves, why would we need a helper? The biggest quencher of the Holy Spirit is self-reliance, self-dependence, pride. I'll do it all myself. I can do all this. I can control everything. The helper wants to help you, and he wants to comfort you through your situations. God isn't one who just takes... So you read in the Bible where God just takes circumstances and situations away completely. No, he walks people through it. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I walk through hard times, I walk through hard places, but I have a helper and a comforter that brings peace and rest to my soul when I go through tough times that I don't understand and I think, God, where are you? Yeah. Skip over that. How often does it seem to be? That's why I was going to say that. In the East, sometimes in poorer countries, there's a desperation for God because they have nothing else. They can't rely on themselves and their own resources and their things. So they have a desperation and a longing for God, and we see the Holy Spirit moving and working. But in the West, we're so self-reliant and self-dependent. He wanted to come in and listen to me. Oh no, he wants to say it, sorry. What I'm saying is how often is it is when you're really desperate for God that is when the Holy Spirit shows up. Do you not find that when you really cry out, when you really go through the crap, can I say that? Said it. Excuse me. That's when he tends to show up in my life. When I look back, it's when I'm really, really holding on to God by my fingertips that he really swoops in and shows me his love and shows me who he is and rescues me. It tends to be when I'm doing it all myself and I have no real dependency on God is when I find myself in a place where I think, God, where are you? We've all received the Holy Spirit when we ask him to come into our hearts. We should expect things and we should keep in line with the Spirit. We should expect to be convicted of the things of our sin. We should expect to be challenged in our lives. We'd expect power to be able to move in his name. We should expect a greater love and a capacity to love than I could do by myself. A peace and a joy in all the fruits of the Spirit, kindness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we can expect the third thing of Advent. I'm not idea how long I've been. We can expect Jesus to come again. Do we really expect Jesus to come again? Like, do we live with that expectation? Doesn't it talk several times in the Bible? I've not looked them up. I'm pretty sure it does. It talks about, I know it does. about being expectant for our God to come back. Jesus says, be expectant that he's coming back soon, that the hour could be any time now. But we don't really think it is, so we don't really act like it is. The creator of the world, this baby, this loving sacrifice who's compassionate and merciful, this king is coming back. It won't quite be like that then. You know, revelations, which I don't get, and anyone who says they do get probably doesn't know what they're talking about. This is the truth, but we know in part. But what I do know is that will be a dreadful day for some people. When I read through different parts of Revelations, when I read about the rider and the white horse coming with his sword, and that sword is justice, and he will slay those who don't know him. It won't be a nice time. Whose names are faithful and true. But he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is coming back. We can expect that. This life was never intended to just be this. Is that we invest everything we've got into this life. But if we imagine it like, that's this life, this little bit. That's our life from when we were born, everything in between into when we die, to when all our birthdays, all our good times, all our bad times, our job, our career, our retirement, and our death. That's our life. But if that's our life and we invest everything into it and eternity goes right out there, that's what it's all about. It's that, it's not this. That's where our perspective tends to be, what we focus on. Yeah. This is what it's all about. It's actually all about eternity. It says that in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. I'll read it out. I've been reading Colossians a lot, it's boss. You should check it out. Let's go to Colossians 1. I said this in the teaching team. It's not Colossians 1, Colossians 3, you div. I don't know if I'm making sense to anyone. But here we go. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. I don't know where I was sharing this recently. Might have been in Connect. Was. I was like, where is your heart? Is it on things above? Or is it on the things of this world? All the things that you want and desire. Like I said at the beginning, you're going to end up disappointed somewhere along the line. If not now, when Jesus comes back. Set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, which we talked about before, the supremacy of God. Set your minds on things above, not on all your worries and your doubts and your pains and your struggles and because someone said a nasty thing about you. Set your mind on things above and who you are and your identity in him and where you're going forever, not on earthly things. What part of our life can we fully control anyway? Who can command their own heart to beat? We can be gone tomorrow because we don't expect it. We live like there's a never-ending road of tomorrows. And we expect certain things from certain people because of their character. So who do we listen to and who do we expect from in our lives? Do we listen and expect from the Father of Lights? He said it was James 1:17. Or do we listen to the father of lies? It was John 8:44, who tells you there is no hope, that there's nothing to expect, that there's nothing in this life for you. God never changes. He's always good. Don't listen to those voices. Don't listen to the voices that tell you God's left you and he's left you in your circumstances, that the church is hopeless and it's going nowhere. It's doing nothing. It's all lies. Because that's not God's thoughts, and God only speaks the truth. He can't speak anything else. The enemy can only speak lies. He can't speak anything else. Because he is destined for destruction, and he is the epitome of depression and pain and anxiety and fear and worry and hurt and all those things, and he wants to put that onto you because he hates you. But God is the exact opposite, and he is the authority which we've talked about because he loves you. Who here has felt God close? You can put your hand up, I don't mind. Just you four. It's a bummer. Didn't go all the way I planned. Who has felt God far away? Who feels like God's far away? Yeah, just three different people. Amazing. We're good at taking part, aren't we? Really good. But just because you feel him close or feel him far away doesn't mean God's any different. I actually forgot why I put that down. Amazing. But an expectation in God brings hope. And to hope in God requires faith. Hope is the soil on which faith grows. It's Bill Johnson, that's not mine. Hope is the soil in which faith grows. Here's another one I've robbed. I wish I could have these as mine. God makes tragedy into triumph. He's got a habit of doing it. He's amazing at doing it. It's his stamp. He loves to make things that seem hopeless, ruined, and no good into more than they would have been without that tragedy. He doesn't just restore. He brings back even more than what you would have had if it hadn't happened. He's amazing that way. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Whatever you think the enemy wants to kill, rob, and destroy. Was that this morning? Someone said that. Yeah. Did you? That's true. But God wants to do the opposite. He wants to bring life, and he wants to not just to replenish, but to double. What did he do for Job? Didn't he end up with 10 times more than what he had in the beginning? I wrote down loads of these. What about Abraham? You know, we had to live in hope and faith of what God had promised him. And God turned up those things in his life where it seemed desolate, and he gave him Isaac, God told him to kill. I've listed a lot. You go right through with Jacob. What did God do for his life? And he restored him after he tried to rob the inheritance, a tragedy which was brought shame on him, and he had to run away. And God restored him, and he fulfilled his promise through him to make that descendants as numerous as the stars. I wrote down Leah. He was rejected by her husband because he wanted Rebecca. Joseph, he was... Well, we know about Joseph, you know, the things that he went through, how he was tried to be murdered by his family. He was accused, wrongly accused, when all he did was good. Does anyone feel like that? You know, all you do is good. And all you seem to get recognition for is doing something wrong. But Joseph, have a word with him. What about Moses, the murderer? You know, off in for doing nothing for 40 years. What did he think at that time? I don't know. But what did God do through him? Could God have done that without Moses going through that? Probably, but what he wanted to do through Moses, he couldn't do unless Moses went through it. Or David. You know, we know what David did. Murder and adultery. But what did God do through David? God constantly, and it's easiest to look at those stories because we know the beginning and we know the end and we've read them so many times, and it's easy to say, yeah, it's great that. But what about us? Who can testify? And again, I don't mind if you put your hand up. Where you've been through a tragic situation and God has brought a triumph in your life, which is way greater than you expected and probably wouldn't have got if you hadn't have gone through the tragedy. And you can look. You should look around, because that's who our God is. God is good. Yeah. And there's so many people who can testify it, whether you put your hand up or not. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, you'd be bad. God will never leave you or let you down. There's people here who can testify that God is good, whether they feel it or not, whether they're going through a rubbish time or not. There's people here who can testify that God is faithful, even though it feels like times that things are falling apart. There's God who can test. There's people who can testify that God is a compassionate God, and that He forgives you always, no matter what, completely and wholly, forever, once and for all. It was done, and you're forgiven. What have you done? You're forgiven. You're forgiven for it. God's forgiven you. It's done. It's gone. from as far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It's done. Don't believe anything else. God is the most loving thing, creature, being. I don't know, I can't describe him. He's God. He's the most loving. He's loving, isn't he? And never let you down. So we want to raise our expectation in him, raise our hope in him, in our situation, in our lives, in the things that he's calling us to, in the things that God's calling the church to. It's not just waiting for Mark Marks to come and then something might happen. And then once he's gone, we'll be back to where we were. I expect big now. I expect big today. I expect big tomorrow. I expect big when Mark Marks comes. And I expect big afterwards because I expect my God is a big, big God. And those who expect big risk big. They make a big arena for God to move. They don't always just move in safe realms. And that's what we're trying to do as a connect group. To push ourselves and challenge ourselves to make more room for God to move in our lives. So we're not just trying to control every single aspect and do it in a nice, safe, comfortable way where we can just keep our control over that. If it all goes wrong. Having faith in God, it's good this, is like putting your foot on the accelerator and letting go of the steering wheel. And letting God hold the steering wheel. I've actually done that. On the motorway. But I actually put my... Don't mention this. It wasn't God. I thought you were like, don't say it, Sam, don't say it. I've changed. Okay, before I tell you this story. I remember going on the motorway. And I reclined my seat right the way back. So I was lying horizontal. And let me cousin hold the steering wheel. In the passenger seat. So when we overtook people, it looked like no one was driving the car. It's funny that, isn't it? Flipping it. Thank you, God. He looked after me. Jim, you look disappointed in me. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Why am I saying that? But that's what it's like with God. But you can trust God. I did that. Can't believe it. Probably I've done worse things, yeah. I was telling Sarah some the other day. We'll not go there. But I can testify how God's looked after me. I tell you what, I was an idiot. Yeah, it's true. I'm saying that because that's the sort of faith in God I want to have. Stupid faith in God. That's what I want to have. I just want to be, you know, if God doesn't show up, you can't. I don't want to just act on my own accord. Let's just get that right with no wisdom or discernment whatsoever. No, but I want to move and act with God and just allow him to just do something because if he doesn't, I'm going to look an absolute fool. Expect God to come through for you. Expect God to never leave you. Expect God to move in your life. Expect him to keep his promises, to answer your prayers, to answer when you've prayed. To always have heard you and to touch people's hearts when you pray for them. Whose expectations have dwindled? I don't think God would have given me this sermon unless that might be the case for people. Who may have become cynical in areas of your life? And I just felt, especially with the church. Yeah. Well, finished now. But I think that needs a response to that. Yeah. And in different ways. So we can worship. But if that is you, I want you to proclaim God's goodness and to proclaim the truth and to speak it out and a declaration, proclamation of the truth of God and not listening to the lies that's been spoken over you. It's time to do war. It's time to step up and it's time to put your money where your mouth is. There's also a time for repentance. I think some of us might need to repent of wrong thoughts and attitudes that we've had among the church and God's people and in all the other areas that I've mentioned. I feel there might be a time that God wants to move and bring about deliverance for people and breakthrough. And so it's up to you now, guys, to really respond with that. Do with that as you will. I've done my bit. God wants to move in and do his bit. So let's sing and give it some welly. And there you go. Thanks for listening.